Hey everyone, I'm Alex Cantor.
And I'm Lily Rosenthal.
Welcome to our podcast, Hot Pastrami.
We are coming to you from our favorite booth at Cantor's Deli here in LA.
We're going to invite some of our friends to join us for a chat over some matzo ball soup and pastrami sandwiches.
So join us for new episodes of Hot Pastrami every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon. Bye.
Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Thursday! That's right, bonus episode time. Doing two eps a week now. Hope you guys have been having a great week. I just got back from my second time on the New Kids on the Block fan concert cruise. My boy Joey McIntyre invited me to come back, do some stand-up. Joey and I actually did a little sketch song where I came out as a drunk New Kids fan, a girl. And he interviewed me, and then we sang an adjusted version of Seasons of Love from Rent. But we changed the lyrics to talk about the cruise. I'll play a little clip for you right now.
Sing the song.
Are you ready to sing the song, Joey?
Let's just sing the song. You ready?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for making my submission again. And I'm sorry I didn't shave. The razors are weird in the bathroom. Anybody else notice that? By the way, I finally took a shit today. It's so tough with the boat moving. It's like, have you done that with your life before? Like, shit will swing. There's no prep course for that. Maybe next year, fucking hell. Oh.
Hell. Oh.
Okay, I'm ready. Thank you for letting me win the contest, by the way.
Come on.
6,480 minutes. How do you measure the fun of a cruise? 6,480 minutes. How do you measure the time of your life? In vodka and tequila and decorating my door and puking. Eating food off the floor. And when I get home, I'm gonna break up with Trevor. Cause he's the critic, come on this cruise, and he can suck my dick. Oh, 6,480 minutes.
Lucky Trevor,
how do you measure the fun of a cruise?
No,
6,480 the time of your life.
It's selfies.
That reminds me, I didn't get a selfie inside. On the outside. 6,480 minutes. How do you measure the time of your life? How about love?
Okay. So that was amazing. Shout out to Joey Mac, my boy, bringing me on that cruise. That was so fun. Like 3,000 crazy drunk women. It's bonkers, but they're so dedicated and they love the New Kids so hard. And it's cool to watch and pick up some new fans. Cause, after that performance, they all jumped on the Adam Ray comedy train and more so the podcast train. So many people have been hitting me up saying they've been checking it out and going back and listening to episodes, so that's dope. If you want to see the whole version of that song, just type in Adam Ray, Joey Mac, New Kids Cruise, and it'll pop up. We did two shows, so there's two versions of it. And I'm not going to spoil the ending, but something really crazy happens at the end of that song. So anyway, that was a blast. Shout out to all you Blockhead fans. You guys are crazy but fun. Hope you guys' week has been great. Hope you've enjoyed the Chris Spencer episode that dropped on Monday. If you haven't checked that out, please go back and listen to it. An amazing episode with President Obama golf stories. You know, Chris wrote for the Emmys, the ESPYs. He's a producer and co-creator of Real Husbands of Hollywood with Kevin Hart. He's just been in the business for a while and has amazing stories and insights that I know you'll enjoy hearing. So go check that out and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes if you haven't done so. Give us a 5-star rating. Just click that 5th star on the iTunes page. Leave a comment on the iTunes page. All that good stuff helps us climb the charts and continue to bring you guys great shows like today's show, which is one of my faves, one of my favorite dudes on planet Earth. Somebody that just makes me laugh, has been making me laugh since I met this motherfucker in 2003. We both went to USC. He was in the sketch group Good Neighbor with our boy Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney from SNL. He is the star and one of the writers of the new show DreamCorp LLC, which airs Sunday nights at 11:45 on Adult Swim. It's a 15-minute show, live action, animation, half and half. It's so funny. Stephen Merchant and John Krasinski executive produced it. And our guest today and star of the show is Nick Rutherford. Nick Rutherford, baby. You might have seen him on Adam Devine's House Party. He wrote on SNL. He's been in tons of commercials. He was a kid actor for a while, which we get into. Of course, our USC days, how he met Beck and Kyle and formed the Good Neighbor sketch group, which to me is one of the greatest sketch groups of all time. Their videos, if you have not seen any of their sketch videos, which really kind of put them on the map. We get into all that just when YouTube hit and doing videos and how they met and their improv group at SC. But Good Neighbor is the name of the sketch group. Look them up on YouTube and enjoy yourself for hours. Some of the funniest shit you'll ever see. This episode is just great. Nick is just a quick, funny dude, a good hang. It's just a fun episode. Just one of those really fun, easy to listen to episodes. The hour and change flew by because we had so much fun. So enjoy this episode and follow Nick on Twitter at Nick Rutherford. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast, at ALN Podcast on Instagram, Adam Ray 33 on Instagram, Brad Williams Comedy on Instagram. This weekend, I'm going to be headlining Flappers in Burbank. First time, Burbank, California, Flappers Comedy Club. Tomorrow and Saturday, two shows each night. Get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com and come see me. Johnny LaQuasto's coming to feature, a former ALN guest, and my boy Avery Pearson, bringing him to do some keyboard. We're going to do some musical improv, some crowd work, some songs. It's going to be a great time. So get your tickets at AdamRayTV.com. That's Flappers Comedy Club tomorrow and Saturday in Burbank, California. Brad Williams is going to be at the new Levity Live in Oxnard, California. Where the fuck is Oxnard? Well, it's north of L.A. on the 101 freeway. They opened up a new club, and Brad's going to be out there tonight. Tonight, let's see, tonight through 27th, 28th, and 29th, and 30th, the whole weekend, Thursday through Sunday. So go out and see Brad, Levity Live, October 27th through the 30th. Of course, when you come to these shows, bring all your ALN merch, hat, shirts, mugs, posters, which you can get at estoymerchandise.com, E-S-T-O-Y merchandise.com. That's where you get all your ALN stuff. And bring them to the shows, and we'll sign them for you, take pictures, all that good stuff. Hope you've enjoyed the past few episodes. Got so many great shows coming up. Jeremy Howard from Mad TV, Lyric Lewis from Mad TV, Dana Carvey's coming back for a fourth time, Brent Morin's coming back for an eighth time. Who else? Oh my God, Monday's episode is with Brett Ratner. Holy shit, just interviewed him, director of Rush Hour, Family Man, Tower Heist. So many great apps. I wish we could post them all in one day, but we gotta wait. Speaking of waiting, there's no more wait for today's episode. Now that we got the Twitter handles out of the way, the merch info, the tour dates, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the one and only Nick Rutherford.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and a dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
How does that feel?
It's good.
How's that level for your voice?
Oh, this sounds, I feel pretty good. I hate my voice.
Do you? You don't have to wear the phones if you don't want.
Well, I'll wear it.
Yeah. I think we all do. The first time you hear your own voice like played back to you, I would be disturbed if anyone heard their own voice played back to them the first time and went, oh God.
Wow. That guy should do radio.
That's majestic. Like, I've had people tell me that they like the sound of my voice, and I'm still like, ugh.
You're wrong.
I mean, yeah.
No, you got a bad ear.
Yeah, it's because it's just strange. I don't know what it is.
It's the same thing. Like, I don't like looking at photos of myself.
Well, because you're ugly.
Yeah, I'm very unattractive.
Right,
and
so that makes sense.
No, I disagree. I think you're very photogenic.
Well, thanks.
Yep.
Thanks. I don't think I am, but I appreciate it.
Really?
That. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just like normal neuroses, I guess.
Yeah.
And like self hatred and years of.
Was there a time
of looking at yourself in the mirror?
What was the first time you were on TV and saw yourself on TV?
Oh man,
was it a commercial?
I must have been really young, but it must have been probably a commercial.
Wait, were you a kid actor?
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
no shit. I didn't even know.
I did my first.
You were the Jif kid, right?
No, I was the Flintstones.
Mom, peanut butter sucks.
Never did Jif wanted that campaign. Thanks for bringing
Still
it up.
Still upset about it. You were wearing all Jif stuff when you came in. Yeah. I was wondering.
Yeah, well, I mean, you I were still the, support the brand. Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you were the Stranger Danger PSA?
I was Stranger Danger PSA? No, yeah. I wish I did cool
What if
stuff.
There was a kid who was, like, still holding on to, like, he was, like, the kid who was Stranger Danger and was like, man, that was me.
That was when life was good.
You know how many times that commercial got me molested? I was, like, a big target on my sweet child bottom.
It, like, all the time, all the top child molesters wanted me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of them.
The big game hunting.
Ironically, none of the agencies, but.
Not one.
Oh, wait, man. Those were when days were sweet. We were mainlining gummy bears every day.
Oh, man. The good old days. Now I'm actually a pedophile. So it all kind of came full circle.
Crazy
for me.
It all comes around. Were you really the Flintstones vitamin kid? Because we brushed over
that. I was one of them.
What?
I mean, when I was three, I did my first commercial for Puffalumps, which was like this 80s stuffed animal toy.
And by the way, that's going to be a racist slur in like 25
Puffalumps?
Years.
Puffalumps?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking Puffalumps.
He's dating her. She's a Puffalump. Don't you bring a Puffalump home.
Yeah. I love that you... By the way, that's...
No Puffalumps in my house.
That's the most classic version of like a racist slur being used. Like a parent being like, you're dating a what?
You're dating a Puffalump?
You know? Wait a minute. So that was the kid... It was like,
you know, active sporty kids. So like I was like drinking from a water faucet, and then there was another kid playing. Like I wasn't the face of anything.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I mean, did you at least get some free Flintstones vitamins for life?
I did, and then they're very tasty. Have you ever had them?
They're delicious.
Candy. Yeah,
they're straight up candy.
And I was like a really heavy fat kid, and so I ate the whole bottle, and then was sick for like 4 days.
You couldn't shit, right? That's the whole urban legend.
I vomited. I still don't shit much, so maybe that's it's residual effect.
Is that a problem?
It's not a problem. I mean, I tell people, they're like, "What? I poop like once every 3 days."
I feel like that's...
That can't be a good thing.
No, that's what everybody says.
I mean,
right?
I don't think about it when I don't poop in a day, but I also, like, if I go 3 days, I'm aware of it.
Yeah, I mean...
I drink a lot of coffee.
I do drink a lot of coffee. I think I stopped smoking cigarettes, so I think that maybe that's kind of... Yeah, thanks. I think that kind of affected it a little bit. I don't know. I mean, but I don't have, like, a weird diet. Like, I eat pretty good. I don't know what it is. I poop a little bit every day, but then, like... they're all kind
what,
of
you like save
trailers
up for one for, big one?
Yeah, like the main event, you know?
They're all trailers for the big shit.
Yeah.
Coming this morning.
But first.
Yeah.
But first.
Holy. Yeah.
I mean, you should really see a doctor about that, Nick.
Well, no, you I know, think every 3 days. If it was like every 3 years, then yeah, the doctor statement is valid.
That would be cool, though.
And then it kind of would. They would
be
make
like
a documentary
an art
about
installation.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. I think a lot of it is emotional or like, you know.
Or
like mental, because when I was working in New York on SNL, it's a very stressful job, and I wouldn't poop all week. And then I had therapy every Friday at noon, and I would get into my therapist's office, we'd talk for an hour, and I would go straight from her door into the bathroom next to her door, and then just shit out like a newborn child.
Shit out a whole week's of stress, worth the stress.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that makes sense. This makes sense.
So then would you go back in and be like, I'm actually now ready to start the session.
Yeah, yeah,
I'd much
like,
more open.
I'd hug her.
Yeah.
And she's like,
you were paying for bathroom usage.
And she's like, I hope you washed your hands because I know what you did in there.
And I'm like, no, not at all.
Not at all.
Is that
hands up in the air praying.
is that the most stressful job you've ever had or been a part of?
Yeah, by far.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because I mean, we've heard stories and it, but it only feels like you have to live it to know what the stress really feels like.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's not terrible. The thing is, like, it's not the worst job, you know, because it's just such a roller coaster.
Right.
Like, it's mm-hmm. like the highest highs and the lowest lows, like within hours of each other.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
It's that's what people is tough to, you know, I mean, we can have, you know, a bunch of great shows in a row and then a not so good one peppered in, but that's, you can handle that.
Yeah.
But in the same hour or the same, just right one after the other, like the Monday be.
Yeah, just like feeling great, and then you like pitch a real stinker idea to some celebrity and they make fun of it, and then you're like, I fucking suck. I'm terrible. And then like you get a sketch and it goes great at the table, and then like you don't make it to dress, and then you're like, I'm a hack. I'm awful. Or you have something and it goes to like dress and it kills at dress, and then it gets cut before the show, and then you just want to kill yourself again.
There's no midway validation. They don't go, hey, your sketch didn't make it for dress, but it was super funny. Maybe next week.
Yeah, I mean, there is none of that. Wow. I mean, maybe if there is that, but then next week you bring it, and then they don't even bring it to the table. Like, it's like designed to like kind of.
That's one thing I never got. I hear stories like that sketches get cut. That kill and dress or whatever, and then my philosophy is always like, well, why don't you just bring that sketch back the next week?
I don't know. I mean,
with a different host. I mean, it would probably still work. You know, if it killed before, it'll kill again.
Yeah, they sometimes do that, but it feels like they would do it more. I think the mentality is that just let's keep new stuff, better stuff. Like let's keep pushing forward, which is a good mentality to have. You know,
sure. But. See, my problem would be I wouldn't even pitch sketches. I would just pitch hosts. So I would be in there being like, guys, Mario Lopez, Danny Bonaducci,
Pee-wee Herman,
Seacrest, Pee-wee Herman.
While Chris Rock is sitting there like, what about me?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, like, Chris.
What about you, dude? What about Dan Cortez? What about Dave Coulier?
Yeah,
who
sure.
Was fucking
bring Coulier.
In Dream Corp.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, he's a lunatic, too.
let's talk about that. We just saw the first episode of your new show, Dream Corp.
Dude, it's so
Dream Corp LLC.
Cool.
Yeah, Dream Corporation Limited Liability Corporation.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Just want to make sure you get the full title out there.
Thank you.
Sunday nights, Adult Swim, 11:45, 15-minute show. So don't tell me that you don't have time. Because you have time.
You got time.
And it's not even 15 minutes because they run like a little commercial.
I think it's technically like 12 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Or
so you got millennials. It's 12 fucking minutes, you ADD pieces of shit.
Yeah.
So watch this thing.
I don't even know how you watch it online. It's on the app. It's on the Adult Swim app.
Yeah.
I don't know if you don't have I had to go to a bar to watch it on Sunday night.
Do you not have Adult Swim?
No, I don't have cable. No.
That's slowly becoming everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. If you're like sports, I think that's
like sports and the Today Show, need.
Yeah, which that's such crossover with those two
right.
audiences.
I watch ESPN and Hoda and Kathy. And guess what? I'm informed.
Yeah, you know your shit.
You know what's going on. You know, yeah.
Was it Krasinski, John Krasinski and Steve Merchant EP, right?
Yeah, they're the EPs. This guy, Daniel Stessen, created the show. He did a short a long time ago that just did great called The Golden Sparrow that just made like the festival rounds.
Right.
And it's all rotoscoped animation. So then
that's what the animation's called.
Yeah. It's like Scanner Darkly.
Dude, it's Wake and the coolest.
It's crazy.
And
right?
I'm kind of blown away that not more of it is being done.
I think this might lead to more.
Yeah.
Because this
it's kind of painstaking, but it's worth
it. Yeah. And basically, what rotoscoping is they draw. They do animation over live action.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely insane. And
it looks like a cutscene because it's like not quite right, you know?
But you can tell it's you.
Yeah.
And now are you actually, but like you're acting those scenes?
Yeah. All that was shot in this warehouse and there's no green screen or anything because they don't cut, nothing's removed digitally. They just take it and then they draw over the frame. So there's all these like old school crew guys who were working the show. And they're like standing holding fans because the whole time there's just like fans blowing her hair so they can animate it. It looks cool.
Mm-hmm.
These crew guys just like, I'm in the shot. I can see myself in the monitor right there. I'm in the shot. And it's like, no, you're going to be painted over. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, you're going to be, well, shot's ruined. Like, they couldn't wrap their heads.
Right.
Shot's ruined. I'm in the shot. Like, it's fine. It's
just, you're fine. There's no light. No, there doesn't have to be light.
No, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You can see the boom mic. Doesn't matter. Going to cut it out. That's fine.
It's unbelievable.
Crazy. Yeah.
I don't think it's a spoiler, but in the first episode, the aforementioned Dave Coulier.
He pops up in my dream.
Makes an appearance, and it's Dave.
It's him. He was on set, and he has a very prominent tongue, in the animation, but he also has a very prominent tongue in real life.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah, he was. He made a lot of inappropriate jokes. I mean, you know, maybe only inappropriate because I know him as Uncle Joey.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so when he's like saying things that I would say with like friends, it's like, whoa, this guy's a sicko. But like, but like, yeah, he's just a normal dude. But yeah, he just has this crazy long tongue, and all he does now, he's a pilot.
Yeah,
and he
wait in real life.
In real life. So
an airplane pilot.
An airplane pilot. He has a private license and he's got a plane. And I was just talking to him. I was like, so what do you do? Like, what's your life? He's like, oh, well, yesterday I flew up to Sonoma and got lunch with some friends with my wife. And then we flew back. I played some golf. I was like, how often do you fly? Like once a week, once a month? He's like, every day. Every day I just fly somewhere and have lunch with a friend. What a life.
That's amazing.
God. Isn't
Did
that
anybody
the dream?
Else know Coolier was living so fucking
good for him. Good for him.
Wow.
Is that Full House money?
I think
it's
got to
be because
so.
Those checks just keep coming in. And then
have to, right?
And then I know he still tours on the road and he still does stand up.
Yeah.
He's probably cashing in on corporate gigs for sure, right?
Yeah, sure. Definitely. I mean, yeah, because he's a clean comic.
Yeah.
So he's probably doing that. And
wow.
Man, and
I never thought I'd say this, but I want Dave Coulier's life.
I know. He's really super nice. I mean, very. I feel like I'm hopefully he wasn't shitting on him.
No.
Really,
no.
Really nice. He's totally down.
Mm-hmm.
He dresses up like. Like, what, the elf? What's the elf guy? One of the guys in Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
Like, I mean, he was just game for everything.
So how did you,
auditioning, and it never works. Mm-hmm. I hate to tell this to, like, young actors. Like,
yeah.
Auditions don't work. It's just who you know. And, like, but a lot of it's like, oh, I like your work in Good Neighbor, so we want to put you in this.
Yes.
Or, you know, like, oh, you worked with this, like,
yep.
And, like, jobs, beget other jobs.
Yep.
This was just... I got an audition. I went in. I didn't know the guy who created the show at all. And I did well, I guess. And we shot the pilot. And me and the creator became really close because we just have very similar sensibilities.
Yeah.
And then the day I got back from New York, I landed in L.A. And Danny called me and said, hey, man, we got picked up for 6 episodes. I want you to be in all of them. Because originally it was just a guest star, just a patient who comes and goes.
Yeah.
I want you to be in all of them and I want you to help me write them all. Yeah, it was incredible.
Well, I mean,
that helps.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
So you came back from New York and you had that gig.
Yeah, like right away. But this was, I didn't know I wasn't going back to New York.
Oh.
So I had like 3 months off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we got to do this like now. We got to start writing this now. We got to shoot it before September. And he's like, yeah, of course, we're going to do that because you got to be in it and you're going to be totally unavailable come September.
Yeah.
And then like a month later, I was like, I'm not going back to New York. So we got all the time in the world. And it was never going to happen in that time window.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So it worked out.
Dude, fuck.
Totally worked out.
Amazing.
Timing is such a big part of this business. That is, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, what if you did go back and it just came against it and you didn't then had to pick and you're obligated to SNL, so.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah.
Because. Obviously, I'd rather be on camera, and that show is so cool. Like, Dream Corp is just such a cool, funky thing.
Also, to get in bed with Adult Swim and the amount of... And how much you write. I mean, I feel like this is just, like, the foot in the door to now really create, like, more shows.
Yeah, definitely, because they are, you know, they're very much within the family over there.
Yeah, and then the type of show that this Dream Corp LLC, full name...
it seems like it's... Every time you say it, like, you have a little...
Dream
stroke.
Corp.
you're reading it very carefully. Nice.
Well,
I appreciate it.
Well, I mean, it is.
Thanks, Brad.
It is the title of the show. I want to make sure I say
it right.
It. Dream Corp LLC. Okay, so all right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
nice.
And a couple more guys.
Yeah. Anyone else?
I'm listening to You Made It Weird. Forget this.
But. The kind of show this is in terms of writing, when you go into those dream sequences, you can literally have anything happen.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
Like, does that almost make your mind freeze up when you have too many options?
Good question.
Like trying to write something?
Yeah, well, it's just when you're writing just like a straight narrative, at least there's like, oh, this makes sense logically following this scene. But when it's like, oh, then he drops through a cornfield and lands, tiger pit, a bowl of spaghetti, his childhood home. Like, there's
what's funnier? Like,
yeah, exactly.
But what makes sense to the scene? Like,
and what is it random for random's sake? You know?
Right, and you literally have any kind of option. And then now, do you have an idea when you write something like that of what it's going to look like? And then you kind of describe it to the animators, or do they just take
no,
it?
No, that
run?
Daniel is like he's definitely like a visionary in that. And I know that sounds lame to say, but like he knows what he wants. So a lot of those dream things are from his ideas, or like, I want it to go here to here to there. And obviously, I mean, it was just him and Chris, this guy Chris, who wrote and me, who wrote the 6 episodes. So it wasn't like there wasn't a lot of people to answer to, and he's kind of steering the ship.
How is that?
It was great.
Have a small writer's room, like
that was. I mean, it was super casual. We were just at like Danny's apartment, like just sitting around. You know, we'd write for like 3-4 hours and then like smoke a little weed and write for another hour and then be like, okay, we can't write anymore.
Yeah. There's always a buffer period after you smoke where you feel like what you're coming up with is still legit.
Yeah.
And then it gets to a point to where there's a few more ums in between everything you say.
Where were we?
Yeah, where were we? And then maybe like even 20, 45 seconds of silence.
Uh-huh.
And then somebody goes,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
Want to meet back?
Yeah, right, 10 a.m. tomorrow.
Let's do this. I would think that in order to write a show like this, there isn't a drug you shouldn't be doing. Like,
yeah, no, I totally agree with you. I mean, at least to like pull from. Like, I really want to do ayahuasca. Like, I want
to
do.
We've talked to some people.
Yeah,
really,
Susan Sarandon and or a buddy of mine who has a weed pen company that has done it twice. And actually, I'll send you the link to the episode and listen to his breakdown and then decide maybe if you want to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, it sounded intense. At one point, didn't he say he was trying to kill himself outside of his body? I'm paraphrasing, but it wasn't too far from that.
Yeah.
So he did, but then he did it again. He's like, I'm gonna try to kill myself again.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much when they talk about like, whenever there's a story of like someone with the American Indians, like you must go on a vision quest. It's like that's what they were doing.
Lost a couple more listeners.
All our American Indians, if they're not really mad about the World Series and having Chief Wahoo as the mascot, then yeah, they're mad.
Do a fucking stroke Indian victim, and we might just have to shut down shop.
My name is Talk So Slow.
There it is.
There you go.
And we got it.
And no one's listening.
Hey.
That's at Funny Brad on Twitter. So do Krasinski and Merchant were they around a bunch to?
Krasinski was around when we taped the pilot and gave a lot of creative notes on the show, like as a whole. Actually, Daniel was telling me they had a phone call with Adult Swim, and Krasinski was on it, and Merchant was on the phone. This was like very early on in the development phase. And he goes, you went from not being on the show completely to eventually becoming the president of the company in the show. He's like, just from what Krasinski said. Because they were like, yeah, so we love the show, but Nick is like, is Nick's character necessary? Like, we're just not sure. Like, you know, there's all these wild big characters, and like, does he fit in this world? We're not really sure. And I think like Daniel's like, oh shit, like the ruse is up. And then Krasinski like jumped in, was like, I played this character for 8 years on The Office. Like, this is the character that the audience sees through. Like,
yes.
He's the audience's eyes. Like,
you're the straight man.
Yeah. And then they were like, yeah. So, okay, cool. And the next thing was like, well, maybe he should be like the leader of it. It went like full swing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you on this call?
No, I got Daniel told me about it later.
Oh,
I was like, Jesus Christ.
Can you imagine being on that call? Like, okay, so I'm cut out of the show, and then fuck, I'm in every episode. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. What else? Keep talking, Krasinski. And then Merchant gave like extensive script notes that were all like spot on. Just because like the world got so convoluted and large with like these other companies underneath this major company. Like they're all doing this weird like pseudoscience, and they were all like kind of at odds with each other. And Merchant was like, no. Like strip all that away. No. Strip it all away. Yeah. Like, and he got down to like the bones of it, which was just brilliant.
Now he's actually British, so he didn't work. So
no, that yeah,
British people should not be offended.
All right, and he voices that robot Terry.
Terry is that character.
He's great, right?
It's just like because you can do. It's kind of like, all right, Terry is if your iPad hated you.
Yeah.
So like that's what that character is.
He's a robot having an existential crisis. And I think one of the episodes deals entirely with him, and he's very depressed because it's his birthday. I mean, the show gets really weird. But that's not a Henson robot. Jim Henson Company built Terry.
Shut the fuck.
How much do you think a robot like that costs?
I have no idea. Your entire budget?
I don't know what the budget was, but the robot cost $90,000. It's just like
Dude,
a
Henson
thing.
Company. I mean,
that's the most expensive character on the show.
Absolutely,
like no one else.
That robot made more money than all of us combined. Yeah.
I forgot to. Do you want a drink? By the way.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks.
And that is also a transition. And we'll come back and talk more about the show.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I want to talk about your recent Drunk History appearance. My favorite show on TV. And I was very pumped to see you back.
Oh, thanks.
And just as drunk.
Yeah, just as drunk.
And you told me me at the Laugh Factory a few weeks ago that... And we can say, that I think if stop me if I'm misquoting that you said I took a drink, like started to tell the story, and then
then
woke up.
Yeah, basically, the first time around, I was like really nervous, so I got like kind of drunk before they got there, and
right.
I kind of remember it slowly, like building over time, you
right.
know, and then but I remember like most of it. And then this time, I was more nervous. It's like, oh, I'm chasing this like dragon. Of the last time I was on the show, I wanted to be super fun. And I started telling the story, and then I don't remember anything other than them like administering oxygen at the end of the night.
But do they do that all the time? Or
they didn't do it the first time.
Okay.
They have medics on hand, but they're not always being used.
Yeah. They make you blow. I don't remember what I blew. They make you blow before they... Right,
the host?
Right,
homeless
dude? Yeah, you blow the host. You blow the producer.
And then a breathalyzer.
And that's just the name of the stripper.
And they're like, whoa, this guy's got too much semen in him. He's not ready for this.
And yours was Legends.
Yeah, mine was what's his fucking name? Now I can't. How am I supposed to remember that?
Yeah.
This guy.
Retell the story sober.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
it's some Tam. I don't know what his name was. Polly Pocket. It was Polly Pocket, smallest person alive.
Right.
It was some guy who jumped off waterfalls and then died doing that, of course. Like, how else does that story end?
Spoiler alert.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Does Derek facilitate, like, he's peppering in as you're drinking, right? Or is it...
Yeah. He's like...
Does he get off course with the story? Does he kind of be like, hey, man, and then this happened?
Well, he does that a little bit, but I don't remember any of it.
Right.
I think he's like, why don't you tell us about this? You know? Mm-hmm. And you definitely tell the story like 3 or 4 times.
Right. Because you get progressively more drunk, and then in the cut, like, it's...
Yeah.
Because at the beginning, you can't be totally fucked up to start the story.
Well, he said that. He was like, we used to tell people, like, you know, drink a little bit, and then we'll show up. And then the first season, they'd show up, and everybody was plastered. And they would have to reshoot, like, these stories, because just didn't have anything to use.
Yeah.
The first one, they're like, have a drink or two, tops. And then we'll take a break. We'll do some shots. We'll film some, like, kitchen shit. And then you keep going.
Now, we all went to USC.
Yeah, that's right.
Fight on Trojans in the room.
Big party school.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so.
I heard we were like in the top 20 when we were there.
Really?
I remember going
and I'm saying that based on just me saying that. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I heard you say that we are in the top 20.
Yeah, that my source is Adam Ray.
Uh-huh. You know what, I'm going to look it up right now.
I remember going to a frat house party where they brought in sand and made it a beach party, and the entire the entire floor of the frat house was sand.
Yeah, that was fun. Did you guys party at frats much? I didn't. You were in a frat.
I was in Adam,
Yeah, Adam was in a frat. But I was an honorary frat member because I didn't want to join one because I could get into all the parties.
Right, so why limit yourself?
Yeah, because I would just walk up and be like, oh, we need a midget in our party. And then I'd be in.
Yeah, you're in. But you're like a hot girl. You have all the benefits of being a man and all the benefits of being a hot girl.
So I get paid more, and and then I get my drinks for free.
Uh-huh.
It's pretty sweet.
USC was a top 5 party school in 2013.
Top 5?
In 2013.
What else is on that? Arizona? ASU.
BYU.
BYU. Big boozy Mormons.
Wow. And by the way, the picture is a picture of two USC girls. Like, one, well, they're cheerleaders. One's bent over, the other one's spanking the other one. That's like the picture for the article. All right. Anyway.
You got so distracted by that.
I did.
Let's take a quick 10.
Adam, please pull your pants up.
All right. Here's the list. It is, okay, West Virginia.
Sure.
Then University of Wisconsin.
Okay.
University of Colorado.
Those make, oh yeah, weed's legal.
USC number 4.
Wow.
Florida State University number 5.
Wow.
University of Texas number 6.
We're ahead of Florida State. That's
that's cool.
That's an accomplishment.
Louisiana State University. Yeah. Louisiana State University number 7. University of Georgia number 8. Arizona State number 9.
Always.
And number 10, ITT Tech. And I did not think that they would make the list, but fucking.
Hey, you know what? You got it.
It's a lot of
fun drink. Everybody's got a drink.
Those guys work hard. Did you have any. So you partied a lot. We were both in the theater school.
Yeah.
And there were some, I mean, a lot of great theater school house parties.
Yeah, there was like Daze's house.
Yeah.
Nonstop house party.
Patrick Adams.
Yeah.
I think Beck, didn't Beck live with them for a little bit? No.
I don't know if Beck lived with them.
You guys
Oh, no. Beck took over their apartment when they left. Yeah. He had a bunch of good parties. Yeah. And then we all lived together, but not in that place.
Oh, wait. That's right. Because I remember going to a party you guys
Yeah.
House.
We had Scarf Street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you had a really cool backyard, like, patio thing.
Yeah. That weird. Was, yeah. That we had this full backyard and this full front yard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a great house.
That was a great house. Do you feel like you drank a lot in college and that you feel glad that you got out of it? Because I think about sometimes how much I partied in college. Not like every night, but I go, there was for sure a chunk of time where I'm like, oh, can the body take that much? It did, but like...
Yeah, the body is a magical machine.
It really is.
Especially at age 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, it
can recover. Yeah, it can recover nicely.
Yeah.
No, there's
a booze filter.
I know I've got some stories where I go, oh, yeah, when I woke up in a place and I had no idea how I got there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were like, huh, glad I didn't die that night.
That night.
I guess I'm looking for one of those. Do you have any of those memories?
I'm trying to think. I mean... We did a lot of like stealing golf carts and stuff. Like we would like drink and then like steal like athletic department golf carts and then drive them back to Scarf and then we'd all load in it and drive it back to camp. But, like we just did stupid shit. We once had we stole like a giant balloon arch and then this was like
like a car dealership type.
Yeah, but it was there must have been some ceremony on campus.
Yeah,
it
was
just like yeah, there always was. And so we took it and walked it all the way back to Daze's place, and then I was like, I like called Daze. I was like, "Get everybody over. We're having a balloon party tonight."
And it's a college sentence.
You don't even know what that sentence means.
No, but it made
you just
perfect
know,
sense.
Yeah, you're like, well, obviously we have a bunch of balloons. Balloon party. Okay.
Yeah, Daze's like balloon party. Got it. Check. And it was just all these people jammed in this house. Like the living room probably is about this size, maybe a little bit smaller, but you couldn't even move. It was just balloons.
Balloons.
It was like being in a ball pit. Like you know the dream of like sinking down in a ball pit. It was that. It was so amazing.
Wow.
We built a bar at Scarf Street. Like we had a bar built in.
That's incredible.
So we had it was Sunday fun day.
Yeah.
Monday. That was fun day too.
Yeah, that was also Monday because we didn't have that much time.
Yeah, maybe it was
creative.
Monday fun. Well, Saturday and Sunday was the weekend, so you just drank on the weekend. So yeah, Monday fun day, Tuesday booze day. Wednesday we had some trouble, so we went with the Spanish word, miércoles cerveza diez. Thursday was definitely a stretch. Thursday bars day. And then Friday, it's the weekend. So Friday was high day, I think, but you know,
Oh my God.
I mean,
there you go. There's some boozies. I'll think of some boozy stories as we go.
What about when you guys would do Comedus Interruptus?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, did you ever drink during the day? Which, by the way, to let people know, that was,
the improv,
Bennett, Kyle Mooney, yourself, which then became Good Neighbor.
Yeah.
It was the premier improv sketch team on campus. And you guys were fucking incredible.
Thanks,
which is why when Good Neighbor formed and the videos were so amazing, I was like, I felt very privileged. I was like, yeah, man, I knew this was going to happen. Like, I knew. Like, people were like,
called it.
People that I didn't know or that I would, or that I knew that were like, have you heard of this group, Good Neighbor? Have you seen a sketch? I was like, yeah, man, they're fucking incredible. And I'm friends with them. And I knew they were going to do
this. You got like indignant about it?
Oh, yeah, dude. Because I was just so
anytime
proud of
anytime somebody like jumps on something late, you're like, yeah.
For with anything. Yeah.
Stranger Things is awesome.
Yeah.
The fuck is wrong with you?
I've been watching Stranger Things for 5 years. Yeah. Like, where the fuck were
I
you?
I knew Stranger Things when it was just a little Stranger Thing.
Oh, Keith Sweat's one of the greatest R&B singers of all time? Oh, okay.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for telling me, 1995. But you guys would perform in the quad at USC.
Yeah, we performed Fridays, I think, at noon or 1.
Right.
Sure we drank before that a little bit, but none of us had Friday classes, so we would wake up at, like, Scarf Street. Maybe have like a beer, but we weren't like drinking heavily then.
And some people realize what you were doing. You were an improv comedy troupe that would go into the big intersection on campus where all the people were walking.
Tommy Trojan.
Yeah. And then, which is the big statue. And then you would just start doing an improv show
and gather crowds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for people that didn't know what was going on, that had to look incredibly weird.
Because
all of a sudden it's just a bunch of kids going, all right, so we got, all right, guys, we're going to start the show right now. Cool. We need a job from you. Job, what's an occupation? What do you do for a living?
By the way, this was Brad's audition for the group, which
I didn't make it. I don't know why.
That's what an improv guy does.
Hey, guys, you clap. We are clapping now.
I feel like I just clap off rhythm.
All right.
Is that what we do?
What's a job? Somebody tell me what a job is.
Someone tell me what a job is. I'm probably not going to have one ever.
Yeah, so I don't want to have a job.
No? Okay.
But like, just the fact, because
hey, you Indian kid, do an Indian voice.
Because like I've done stand-up.
I'll bring it up on my podcast years later. Yeah.
All material. I've done stand-up shows at colleges where they didn't announce to the students that there was going to be a stand-up show, and all of a sudden it's just like
in the cafeteria.
Yeah, and all of a sudden they're like, all right, and they just hand you the microphone. And you're like, go. And you're like, what?
And there's people with their laptops, like, ah, oh, fuck this guy.
Yeah, and they just hate you. So like, was that scary doing that?
I guess in a way it kind of allows you to just not care as much, because mm-hmm. before that we would like dance, we'd sing this crazy song and dance around the quad like to get the crowd. That never got a crowd, but like, so you're just like screaming this song like, at last it's Friday afternoon, you're done with class, you're free. It's really lame now that I'm singing it again. And then you just run over and we do this like song thing. So I mean, and after a while, people caught on, so there would be people like who would sit and have their lunch there and wait for it, and then there was like engineering students who walked by who don't have fucking time for that shit, and would just like give you the stink eye, like, what are these theater nerds
I'm
doing?
I'm changing the world, you asshole.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I'm playing a mad doctor. Yeah.
Would how long had you done improv prior to that, or was that your first taste of...
I had done it a little... I transferred to USC from Moore Park College.
That's right.
So I did it a little bit at Moore Park, and a little... I mean, I was always in theater, so there was always a little bit of improv.
You're from out here.
Yeah, I'm from Thousand Oaks.
That's right.
Where are you from?
Seattle,
that's right.
Yeah, just look at the logo that he'll be wearing on his body at all times.
It's on the banner, too.
I rock it, you know?
No, I appreciate that. I don't
have
any
Moore Park College hat or something.
Yeah, that's in my car. Well, I could take the car decal off. I got a body wrap on my car, Moore Park College. So
how was that experience, real quick?
That was great.
Yeah,
it was great. I mean, I was just doing like you know, weird like philosophy classes and doing
the plan
plays.
Was to do that and then train.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I was like an actor forever, and you know, somewhat you know, not like famous or anything, but I worked a lot as a kid and as a teenager, and then I was like, I'm going straight to high school. I didn't act at all, or you know, I didn't audition for anything professionally. Went to high school, and then just senior year I was like, I'm just gonna get back into acting. I live really close to LA, so I didn't apply to anywhere, and then all my friends were going to Moore Park anyway, like, yeah, just go to Moore Park. We went to Moore Park, and then I was like, oh fuck, I should apply somewhere. So I just applied in junior college, essentially.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I forgot why we started talking about Moore Park College.
We were talking about SC
improv and stuff. Yeah, so I got in, and at Moore Park, I was taking some classes at Groundlings, and then shortly after, I started taking classes at UCB, and so I had a little bit of experience with it.
So were there other kids that you went to Moore Park with that, like, when you left, was it like, you getting out, man? Good luck on the other side.
Take me with you.
Moore Park forever. Or, like, I mean, was it...
You're going to need this. I mean, handing me, like, a rabbit's foot.
Did you guys all get, like, matching face tattoos or something?
Yeah, I got makeup covering mine.
Oh, well done. Well done.
And Moore Park was really cool. Like, I had a lot of friends who I'm still friends with who went there.
Yeah, and then you were doing stand-up at USC as well.
Only senior year I started doing it, because Eric Truel's solo performance class.
Eric, I took that class.
I think that might have been when we met.
Yeah, we met, and that's where it was. Nick Young was in that class.
Maybe.
And then he always played a crackhead.
Yep, that sounds right.
that was my favorite part of that class.
Oh, man, everything was great about that. I miss class in general just because everybody's an idiot. You know, I'm not saying I'm not an idiot,
but I
love hearing idiots' questions.
Nick and I took this solo performance class, and the teacher was a failed actor who, it was like a drinking game. you could take a shot when he brought up his one man show that he did in like the 70s that was like running it was like a student film.
Yeah, he would like roll with like Bogosian and all these like kind of like new agey performance artists. But the class wasn't stand up, but it definitely lent itself to, because like, if it was just like I came home to my father, and then you would like change stances really quick and say, son, you have to get a job. And I turned to my father and I said, and then you'd like look the other way and no, dad, I'm an artist. Like, that's what they wanted you to do.
Yeah, basically they wanted you to be like a side cut from Family Guy. Like or that sketch from SNL where like it's the music.
Oh,
and everyone stops.
Well, Fred Armisen did like solo performance. Like, he had a character that is exactly it. It's just like so pretentious, and you're like doing these voices, and you're so proud of yourself the whole time. But I just started telling stories. I'm sure you did the same thing, and was like, and I always wanted to stand up. So this is kind of why I took it. And then, I just started doing
Ringer
shows.
Then I remember hosting the
USC stand-up comedy competition.
This is after I graduated.
Yeah.
Because my senior year, by the way, you did stand up on my show, remember? Remember my senior year I did some like variety show?
Oh, yeah, at Ground Zero?
Yes, at Ground Zero. Ground Zero. I still have that tape, by the way.
Ground Zero Coffee House, which was...
Right, not the site of the infamous...
Oh, God. Remember I did that stand-up show at Ground Zero? Oh,
at the Ground Zero Memorial? Yeah.
Oh, I just want people to be clear.
By the way, that would make sense that you were like, I don't really remember, man. I
blocked that out.
Yeah, don't bring it up.
Fuck.
Remember this weird variety show? We had a clown.
Yeah. Nobody was into it. I was being like, okay, give me a job. Give me a job. Anybody know?
People were crying. I was like, that's not the right feeling.
The Ground Zero Coffee House was named long before September 11th.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, but they never changed it.
They really should have.
No, yeah, they definitely should have.
Yeah.
But it was like the one venue where there was a lot of singer-songwriter things. It was like
open mic nights.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Really good venue. And so I did that stand-up show where I very like boldly did like an hour of stand-up. And then I think you did like 15, 20 to open it. And then I did some songs, and then Beck and John Darden did some sketches with me. I did like four sketches.
No way. You have a tape of that?
Yes. I'll find it.
Oh,
it's deep in the bellows.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
It is now.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't bellows the right word? The bungalows?
The bungalows. It's deep in the bungalows.
Deep in the bellows.
Bellows is like a thing that like powers an organ, I think.
Yeah, or like a fire. Like,
yeah,
like
it's a bellows.
Like deep in the woods? Is that what I wanted to say?
I don't know.
There's a fancier way to say woods.
I know.
And that's what I meant to say.
I know what you're trying to say, but I'm at a loss.
Deep in the dungeon? That doesn't sound good.
That sounds like a porno I rented last week.
Archives? I mean, I know that's not weird.
Norman, will you look up the definition of bellows?
I love how we all have Google right in front of us. Like, Norman!
I mean, you need something to do.
But yeah, that...
Oh, man, I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'll pull it up and send you a link. For sure, that comedy contest. And you won that.
I won it. I won it,
Russell
man.
Peters and Jeff Ross were judges.
Yeah.
And
I hosted it.
Brad hosted it.
Yeah.
And some other SC...
And then I remember the prize was like you got to open up at the Improv for someone, and you essentially never got that until you actually started opening up for people at the Improv.
No, I think it was either Ice House or something. It was the Brea Improv.
Yeah,
but I lived in New York at the time. Like I had graduated and I moved to New York, and then that guy who put it together had me come back, and I came back for a week and did the show, and I was like, I'm not performing in Brea. I'm living in New York. This is not, and it never happened. Ever happened.
Oh shit, shots fired, Brea Improv.
Yeah, so, seriously.
Yeah, so we should finally cash in.
And I know that, and
give you that 7 minute spot.
Did you ever do Uncle Clyde contest at Ice House?
No, but I heard of them.
I did that.
I did it and got to like the final, whatever the main stage show was. And I had this bit at the time where I was talking about the clapper.
Yeah.
Hey, you love clapping.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I'm bored.
It's like that?
Yeah.
Hey, everyone.
How do you turn a light on?
Yeah, like that.
Anyway, the
improv show.
Yeah, come on up. It involved like hitting the wall at some point. And the Ice House has that big mural in the back, like a big Pasadena mural. So I get to that part, and it was like this electric crowd is going so well. And I hit the wall. I hit it once, and the second hit, my fist just goes through the wall and puts like a hole in the fucking mural at the Ice House. And the owner, whatever his name is, was sitting there watching these like new comics. And I was like, this was my big break. And I was watching him. Everybody who would come down the aisle after their sets, he would shake their hand and be like, oh, I'm whatever his name is. What is his name?
Sean?
I don't know.
The owner.
Sounds like a comedy
Jan.
Club owner.
Jan?
Oh, I thought it was a guy back then. It might have been somebody.
No, Jan is a guy.
Yeah.
Jan Fisher or something like that?
Bob Fisher.
Bob Fisher.
Bob Fisher.
Doesn't that sound like a guy who owns a comedy club?
It does. Yeah. Bob Fisher.
Bob Fisher. Yeah. Hey, come see my funnies.
Come do 5 minutes.
So he was shaking everybody's hand, and then after punching a hole in his wall, I like walked right by him and like definitely like kind of paused, and he just like looked at me and then looked to the stage, and I was like, all right, I'm done here. Yeah.
And you have you been back to the Ice House?
I have, but only for podcasts.
Not for wall punching?
Not for wall punching. I think I called him the next week, and I was like, hey, I'm pretty handy. I know some drywall work. I can't paint, but I'll happily. Nice. I was just trying to throw a bone. And he was like, yeah, I think we're good. Thanks.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Bob.
Sorry, punk-ass kid punching walls and holes in my wall.
It must have been a weak spot. It wasn't like a violent punch.
Like maybe that was the last thing he did with his grandfather was like build that side of the wall.
That was the last brushstroke.
And his grandpa said when he was on his deathbed, just don't let anybody punch the...
Protect the wall.
Protect the wall.
And then he just hears this ghost going, avenge me!
A ratty, curly-haired boy will try to destroy the wall.
Do your best to protect it.
Don't shake his hand. Terrify him.
I mean, so you met Beck and Kyle in college then?
Yeah, we met. We all got into Comedus Interruptus the same time.
Oh, nice.
We all auditioned together, and they do this crazy 6-week audition process. And then there was a fourth guy. They do like a 6-week workshop, yeah. And then at the end of 6 weeks, they say, "Okay, we're going to keep you two, and you two, thanks for nothing. You know, thanks for everything, but we're good." So like they would really take up a chunk of your semester. And so there was four of us: me, Beck, Kyle, and this other guy. Mm-hmm. And he's a very sweet guy, but he didn't make it. And for a while, I was like, this guy must hate himself. Like, I was so close.
Oh, yeah.
Because Beck, Kyle, and I got along, like, immediately, and yes. We're, like, immediately best buds, and he was, like, this outlier.
Oh.
Yeah. But he's great.
Did he live in the Bellows?
He lives in the Bellows.
Which, by the way, real quick, Bellows. A device with an airbag that emits a stream of air when squeezed together with two handles used for blowing air into a fire. Number two, an object or device with concentrated I don't know that word. I've never seen that word before.
God, now I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, I gotta
either it's
too.
A misspell in the definition or I've never seen that word. Norman, how do you pronounce that word? Number two.
Concertinained? You know what? I was going to make fun of you, but now I don't know that word either. Damn it.
All right, now we gotta look up the definition of a word in a definition.
Oh, wow. Concertinade?
Is that it?
I don't know. That's what it looks like.
Sounds right.
Concertinade.
Yeah, concertinate sides.
Isn't it fun when one definition leads you to another definition?
Are there just a ton of words out there that are pretending to be words?
Yeah, definitely.
Says the stupidest guy ever, by the way. That's what all the dumb guys say. Are there words that aren't words, but that are words? So, all right,
oh, you
so
know what it's from? Concertina.
Oh.
Concertinated. Okay. It's something that
Adam said without knowing what that truly meant. Oh, yeah, concertina. Yeah.
Well, you know, concertina is like...
That's what it is. Yeah. Wikipedia says a bellows or pair of bellows is a device constructed to furnish a strong blast of air. Great.
And there's not a third definition someplace you keep old video cassettes?
Well, there should
deep
be.
Deep in the bellows.
Put that in Urban Dictionary.
So when you guys meet, it's just instant... buddy friendship chemistry.
Yeah, they have like when we got the call like, oh, you guys are all on Comedus together, they do this like long kind of hazy like going through, you know, break into the stacks and then there's a clue in a book and like when you leave the alarm will go off, so just fucking book it. And then like a lot of like borderline illegal stuff you have to do around campus in this long like scavenger hunt essentially. Yeah. So we did all this stuff and like we broke out of the library and the alarm goes off and like, let's go to your dorm. So we run to Kyle's dorm and we sit there. And then we just start, like, drinking. We're like, oh, let's just hang out here for a minute. And we're just drinking and, like, laughing and having a good time. And then eventually, like, one of the guys from the group, like, probably Billy, calls us and goes, where are you guys? Are you doing the scavenger hunt? Like, yeah, we're just having a drink. And they're like, you're supposed to be doing the scavenger hunt. Yeah, we'll get to it. So, like, we were immediately just inseparable.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then after graduation, which, by the way, who spoke at your graduation? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Because mine was... Well, I mean, there was a theater school one, but like the main one. I don't know if you went to the main one.
I did go to the main one. I don't remember who spoke.
Neil Armstrong was mine, which is why I asked, because I feel like SC pulled some pretty cool people.
Yeah, it must have been somebody cool, but it wasn't that cool. Wasn't somebody been to space?
Hey, guys, what's it like to graduate?
Oh, that's right. You didn't graduate. No. I remember you talking about not graduating.
Yeah.
Well, Brad, it's crazy. They basically just, they go up there, they have you do a couple like really inappropriate stroke voices, and they go,
I would have been perfect
that's
for
I'm
that.
Saying, man. You missed out.
Yeah, man. Then they give you $100,000.
It was one of my first jokes, actually, was commenting on, I should still do it, but it was basically because Neil Armstrong doing that graduation. And, you know, I'm obviously like heightening the event, but it was more or less him walking out being like, yeah, I'm Neil Armstrong, and I was on the moon, so good luck topping that shit. Suck my dick, I'm out. You know, like just. But
he'll never be me.
He did have this air of like swagger to him, where it was like he kept coming back to being like, and on the moon when we were on the moon, it was this and that, and it was. And I remember seeing
the moon.
I remember at the end he was just like moon, moon, baby, and I'm sitting there being like, fuck, Mike. God, anything I do, like, it was kind of, I think he meant it to be inspiring, but it was really soul-crushing because it was like, fuck, man, like, I'm not going to do that,
definitely. 4 years of theater?
Yeah.
It's not going to get me to any other planet.
Yeah. Or I'm trying to get on, like, fucking Cold Case. Like, I'm definitely not. It's not the same thing.
Well, I mean, I'm sure when they have you back, you can be like, when I was on According to Jim, and then there'll be someone in the audience going, oh, God, I'll never be on According to Jim.
I'm just working on this AIDS cure.
I'll never make it to...
I'm taking an acting class.
I'll never make it to According to Jim.
when do you guys... You started doing videos in SC or...
Well,
I guess
they,
YouTube didn't hit.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. I mean, I think YouTube was around, but it wasn't really a big thing.
Right.
But we
no
started
one knew
doing
how to upload when it started.
Yeah, like, it was like, just not a thing at all.
Yeah.
But they had, we did a sketch show twice a year. So my senior year,
that's right,
we were doing sketches and we started shooting videos, and Dave McCary would shoot all the videos and edit them and stuff. So we had this kind of perfect group, because
yeah,
Dave was in film school and he really wanted to be a director and like a filmmaker. So
by the
we
way,
had a guy who had no interest in being on camera, which is so important.
It's essential to those groups, because as I would find after when you guys became a group and started to put out so much stuff, and I was like, oh man, I you know, and I was already, I'd done videos in high school and I was starting to fuck around with it. I was like, oh, it pumped the just ignited more of the fire of like, oh,
with the bellows. It was the bellows that ignited that fire.
That was nice. But of like, oh, I need to find my group to do that. And eventually met the Cadeglia twins.
Yeah.
And it's like, and people will be like, man, who do I, because it is so tough to think of how to get that stuff together. And you don't realize until you're in it, they're like, oh, having someone just to shoot and edit is like so invaluable, because it's like, oh, I don't, all I have to worry about is writing and acting.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And so Dave was that for you guys.
Yeah. Yeah. It was perfect. I mean, it was a perfect storm, essentially. I mean, but not to dissuade somebody who wants to make shit, not to just like,
of course,
you know, I
just
mean, you
try.
Yeah. You can, we could film a 2-person sketch and I would film you and you'd film me. Like,
totally.
It's doable, especially now. Like, we had to buy a camera. We had to like beg Kyle's dad to buy us a camera.
Wow.
Now, you like, this phone is better than our first 4 cameras, probably.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
You know, it's so nuts.
And I would encourage all our listeners to go back and check out some of the Good Neighbor sketches.
Look up all of them.
Yeah. my personal favorite was the secret handshake that lasted.
Oh, the toast?
The toast.
Yeah,
toast. The toast,
right.
Classic.
Dude, that's one of the greatest videos of all time.
Oh,
but the greatest is the hook dinner. Unbelievable dinner.
Thanks. Did I tell you about the story behind that?
No.
Well, so we made this video that basically is parodying the imaginary dinner in Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And we put it out, and like maybe 3 weeks later, we get an email from this woman named Summer, and she's like, hey, my name is Summer. I'm Steven Spielberg's assistant.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear to God.
Up.
She goes, Steve wanted me to pass this note on, and it said, my daughter Sasha showed me your video, and I've been howling with laughter. Keep up the good work. And
we
lost our fucking minds. We all carried like a printed copy in our wallet forever, like just to show people. And we were like just trying to figure out what to reply. And we wrote him back. We're like, thanks, Summer. Can you pass this note on to Steve? And we wrote like, hey, Steve, we've been following your work, too. Seems like you're on the right track. Keep it up or something, you know, whatever.
Oh, no doubt. He loved that.
And, and then we told Summer, like, we would love to take him out for coffee or whatever. Like, he's this is a dream.
Of course.
What an amazing thing. Never heard back. Never, ever heard back ever again. And then years later, like maybe 2 years ago, so like 5 years later or something, I was at a bar in Echo Park. I was at wherever. And this guy comes up to me. He's like, Hey, I'm like Barry or whatever. Sasha Spielberg is my like best friend. Hey, did you ever get a note from Steven Spielberg? And I was like, yeah, why? He's like, well, I showed Sasha that video. Then she showed her dad, Steven Spielberg. And then he wrote you a note. And then he was upset because you guys never wrote him back. Yeah, I was like, we wrote him back. Like, we wrote him back right away.
Oh, my God.
So that bitch Summer, his assistant, was like, he doesn't need this. And then just like filtered it. And he's sitting there thinking, oh, these guys just never even wrote me back. To this day. Is he a listener?
I, you know what?
Is he sensitive to stroke comedy?
Deep in the bellows. Yeah.
Did he already tune out?
It's funny. It's funny you bring that up, because we just recorded a podcast with Brett Ratner, who has another Steven Spielberg story, kind of like
really?
That. Where
maybe we could somehow get Ratner in touch with
Spielberg and
for...
give him this story, just so you can finally say thank you.
That would be, dude. That's I now want to make it a personal mission.
Yeah.
To,
right.
You have. Can't you just...
I mean, I feel like now we have the connection. Like, I could...
Yes! You
just,
need
like,
to
write
find...
a handwritten letter. Hey, here's what happened, and we're...
Dude,
you know,
yes. He is...
And we're all doing okay.
Yeah.
And
we're still...
And we thank you.
And we're still hoping that you turn your career around.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and,
like,
and
you
we still,
just
we're still pulling for you.
Oh, yeah, my still pulling.
And here's
Summer,
my student loan account.
If you just
snap of the finger, you can knock that out.
And here's 2 scripts.
Yeah. Exactly. And can I crash for a little bit?
Just to get you started.
Do you have 50
grand?
Oh,
my God.
Fuck. Well,
nuts? Yeah.
I wonder how... Yeah. Now it just makes me so curious to, like...
I know.
If it... like the guy Barry relayed it and saying like he was always wondering why they never wrote him back. I now wonder at what level of anger was he at. Like, do you think he was just like on a whim, like 2 weeks later, like, hey, whatever. Like, if he just right. thought of it or in a whim, like, whoa, I wonder if those guys, why they didn't write me back? Or do you think he stayed up every night?
Yeah, like on the set of Polar Express, he's like,
couldn't focus.
Like, Steve, yeah, what are we doing here? No, sorry, I just
Tom Hanks is asking for notes. He's like, shut up, Hanks.
Shut up. Let's think about this. Good neighbor, guys. They never wrote me back, Hanks. Steve, you got to drop it.
Yeah. Somebody comes over. Steven, we're all a little concerned. You're on your phone constantly refreshing your email. What gives, man?
Summer's just standing right next to him, like,
I'll tell you what gives.
I can't imagine if Steve's watching Saturday Night Live and he sees Beck Bennett going, that's the asshole.
I know, yeah.
They never wrote me back.
Lauren, take him off. Take him down.
Yeah, Steve guest hosts and just pitches a sketch where fires them.
That would be amazing. Yeah, we gotta get the thanks to him.
Yeah, we'll
in the
figure
dig.
That out.
We gotta get a dig at
we
him.
Were, this Absolutely. Is a group. We're gonna figure that out.
No shit.
But that sketch. That was one of the first ones that maybe got like a bunch of viral attention, yeah?
I think so. That one, initially, there was like this computer lab on campus, and none of us were in school anymore, but we would walk to the thing, wait for a student to use their ID to go in, and then we would just follow them in work on these like beautiful top of the line Macs, like just a room full of them. It would never be in use. It was such a waste of money. But that's USC. And and we would upload a video, and then we would load, because at that time it was like Funny or Die and Crackle and like, you know, like heavy.
Cracked.
And like,
Break.com.
Break.com, yeah, everything. Buddy. And YouTube was one of them. Like there was
collegehumor.com, all of these.
So you had to upload on everything. So we would upload on all of them, and then we would just scroll down, like literally like a Dilbert cartoon. There'd be like a bunch of, you know, $4,000 max lined up, and we would just hit like funny, slide over funny, slide over funny. So we would just like falsify these views because Funny or Die had this algorithm that if it got 700 views like in an hour, then it made it to the front page. This is like the first like months of Funny or Die. So we would just do this just to get our view or our video seen.
Geniuses.
Just to get it through the fat.
Wow. And by the way, at that point too, the way that MySpace was so big when they started featuring video content and only having a 4-box feature thing, that was huge.
Yeah.
Because
it was everything.
There weren't a lot of those sites. And so, and when Funny or Die did get such cachet, if you were up there, everybody saw it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everybody was using those sites.
Absolutely.
So that one got a little bit of heat, but then really it was the, we did this, it's not even like, I think it's our
My
worst
roommate's
video.
Gay?
No, not that. I mean, that's just a beloved classic. Yeah. But, this video called Pregnant Jamie Lynn Speaks Out. It was like the only topical video.
The one, yes. Mm-hmm.
The only topical video we ever did. And it was just like,
it's you being a TMZ reporter.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, there's Jamie Lynn. And cause she got
Spears.
Pregnant. Yeah. Jamie Lynn Spears. She got like pregnant and it was this big thing. And then we like hired this little kid. So it's just this little girl like walking down like Rodeo in Beverly
Holding
Hills.
Holding like a purse and looking like a 15-year-old.
Yeah. And we just had her say a bunch of stuff. And then we looped like my questions over it later. And then with a simple, stupid camera trick, like she speeds away. Like she's in the driver's seat of like a Range Rover. And then like she throws her coffee cup at me and we like whip the camera away and whip back up. And she's like takes off down the street and almost hits a car. Anyway, Perez Hilton put that on.
Yes.
He like featured it. And then that one got like 4 million views overnight.
Fuck. I remember that. You know why I remember that? Because Perez Hilton, I remember seeing that being, and that's what made me find his site. And then, I don't know, maybe.
Now we're all big Perez heads.
A year later. It's my Halloween costume this year.
Sure, oh, that's good. Going I don't have one yet.
He then featured my Kermit the Frog, Two Girls, One Cup video.
Oh, that's right.
And that same thing went from like 1,000 views to like 6 million views.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, who the fuck is this guy that everybody, and I remember people being like, you made it. You're on Perez Hilton.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. Who?
The jizz guy?
But oh, yeah, that's right. He kept drawing dicks on people. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure like it puts you on the map a little bit, but it wasn't like overnight success.
No.
Because also, 4 million people saw that video or whatever. I don't know what it is. And then like you could see who saw that video and then went, oh, what else have these guys done?
Right.
Like you can track that.
Yes.
And it was like 10,000. Like it was literally like 0.001% of people saw the video and went, I like these guys. What else have they done? Like nobody cares. They're just like, consume the content. What's next?
Yeah.
Like, what's nobody next looked beyond it. Yeah. It was like, I mean, it got us like, you know, meetings and shit like that.
Did you find yourself having to like get, I mean, just with, you know, the attention span of people who watch sketches, like when you guys would do shit, you'd be like, all right, let's make up, things can't get longer than this, like two and a half or.
I mean, I think we were conscious of that, but we didn't really have any hard rules.
Right.
But I think in general, like, we just kind of knew that I don't like watching a video over like 3 minutes long. So,
yeah,
which is so sad, but you know, that's just how you consume things.
I mean, that's why the show Dream Corp LLC is so perfect.
That's right. It's only three internet videos.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brad says, I wrote down some notes. Did you really watch the movie Keanu while sitting behind Keanu Reeves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I saw that tweet. I'm like, are you trying to be funny, or did this actually happen?
No, I don't. I used to have a photo. I like took a sneaky photo of him. But going to promote the Adult Swim show, they flew us to Comic Con, and they like it was and it was great. Like New York Comic Con, like in first class. It was like I don't buy first class tickets. But,
was it the best?
It's amazing. But like, it's not. You're supposed to rest. Like, you're supposed to put it into a bed and then sleep, so you're like fresh when you go to your big power business meeting.
Yeah,
but like, there's just like multiple meals and snack breaks,
every movie ever,
every drink you want,
and booze is free.
Yeah,
so you're just like, well, I have to enjoy this.
Yeah, you can't sleep. Like, you're having such a great time. It's like this little personal party for you. But Keanu Reeves was sitting like two seats in front of me, and he was sitting next to Helen Mirren, I think.
What?
Holy shit. I know, it's nuts.
Wow, marry, fuck, kill.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'd do them all. And they were just talking the whole time like they're like old buddies. And I was like, Jesus, this is so fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. And then I pulled up Keanu. Not as like, I just wanted to watch the movie. Then I was like, oh, Keanu's right. They like, it only came to me like 30. I wasn't like, this will be a funny tweet. I better make it real. Yeah, like, I was just like, oh, I got to see Keanu. This is perfect. And then I was like, oh, he's right there. And he's reading a book and he's watched a movie. He's just like us, man.
How celebrities. They are just like
us. Just like
I would love to hear his response if you were to walk by and be like, psst. So, you know, I watched Keanu during the flight, and just leave it at that, and see what he comes back.
I know. I got so scared. Like, yeah. I didn't approach him. I was like, also, you're like, just act like you've been there before, you know. So you don't want to like bug the guy.
Those moments got to happen organically. You guys got to both be going for the bathroom at the same time, or
organically. Like, I have my seatbelt off and I'm ready to jump up.
You just run and jump right in front of him. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Oh, this is weird. We both reach for the handle at the same time. I've been watching Keanu. Wait, you're Keanu Reeves. Isn't that crazy?
Do you know
Steven Spielberg?
I have a message for him.
Yeah. He did stand up at some point near the end of the flight and did some really great stretches. And I was like, that's cool. So then
first class stretches.
Yeah, so then I did that.
What?
Yeah. I wanted to see that. Like, hey, I stretch too, man. I thought maybe after the flight he'd be like, hey, I saw your stretches back there. Pretty good stretches.
Do you want to be in John Wick too? There really is, like, you really can do whatever you want in first class, right? And I feel like for people to judge you, like, if you were just lay on a mat and start doing yoga in the aisle way, like,
nobody would care.
What are they really gonna say?
There's a famous story about John Lennon would sometimes buy the entire first class just so his son could set up his train sets. And just
can
so we can
imagine,
like, yeah,
just having that fuck you money,
right?
I
honestly don't know how rich I would have to be if it was my own money to buy a first class ticket versus like a coach, because it's like literally $400 to go to New York, first class, $8,000.
Yeah,
like, it's like such it's a crazy. Huge leap,
yeah. Right? Yeah,
I could never spend that money.
Yeah, because whenever I fly first class, it's always because I fly so much I get
bumped up.
Or, yeah, which is like
that's the best.
Yeah, it's I can't tell you what that feeling is because it's like, oh, gotta go to coach and then go, Mr. Williams, you've been upgraded.
What?
Yeah.
ding dong. Why, it's Christmas Day.
Like that's literally how it feels every single time.
There's also more characters in coach, you know, like some of the conversations
and
voices I've heard, like I think I've told this story before, but I was on a flight and I was in the middle seat, and about 20 minutes in I heard this voice, and you know, sometimes you just hear a voice and you're like, all right, at some point I'm gonna turn around to see what that voice is attached to, because that's not a normal voice. That's
something's going on,
some sort of
Muppet. Maybe you just heard someone say, oh, they've got Fiesta Mix. This is fantastic.
By
don't
the way,
you know,
not too far from it.
It was kind of like this.
It was like a
Bobcat Goldthwait.
A mix between that and Grover, where it was like he was talking about Trump, and he was like, I don't
agree with the, well, I'm not gonna vote for him, and if you,
and then the woman comes over to take the orders, and she, or, and they take out the menu. Right, it's on Alaska Airlines. There are certain flights you can get during certain times. They have a very extensive
very
breakdown,
specific.
Right,
yeah.
If it's on a Tuesday between 9 and 10, like, you can get lasagna,
but not if you're going to Mexico.
It's very specific,
right?
So, so the guy is about to order, and then she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry," and she was like, "I need to start from this side." So then she takes that whole side's order, and then comes back, and he's like, and the guy, even when she went over, was like, "Ah, I forgot." He's huffing and puffing, right?
Weird curmudgeon,
being a very puffalump. What was it again?
Yeah, but, Yeah, Puffalumps.
No, the Wait, snacks?
No.
The kid snacks.
It's a, no, it's a stuffed
Puffy
animal.
Mump? What was it?
Puffalumps.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, that wasn't a snack. That's a toy. Yeah. I had one of those
things.
That's right.
Puffalumps, yeah.
Yeah.
So he's being a Puffalump.
You have a Puffalump in this day and age? You can't own a Puffalump.
Well, not now. You can't own the... I mean, now I
figure... I'm going back to racial slurs.
I figure like a Puffalump is just an idea.
I got a lot of Puffalump friends.
So he comes back and he goes, I'm
Puffalump lives matter.
I will. Yeah. Nice.
Jimmy's half Puffalump. Yeah. He's a lump.
You going to vote for the first Puffalump president? So then he goes, I will have the cheese plate, please. And she goes, oh, I'm so sorry, sir. I just gave out the last two. And he goes, what? He goes, but you started to take my order, and then you went to that side, and just starts breaking it down. And she goes, sir, if you want to guarantee the item on the flight, you know you can go online and pre-order the item. That way you're guaranteed to have it on the flight, and you don't have to run into this situation. He takes off his glasses. So starts, by the way, I'm like, watch this all out of the side. And he goes, I'm not going to pre-order a goddamn cheese plate.
I agree with him, though. No, 1,000%.
Yeah. I'm laughing. And
I like this move, taking the glasses off. Yeah. We're getting serious.
Just to, and you know, he's fucking really
like
home
Alec Baldwin line. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to order a goddamn cheese plate.
Dude, I felt like doing a slow clap or standing up and being like, sure. Preach, brother man, or whatever, you know. And so, anyway, that was on coach. You're not getting that rundown in first class.
No, one time I woke up from a nap in coach, and the guy that was sitting next to me was listening to my headphones. My headphones had been laying on the tray. He decided, oh, well, he was having a good time listening to that. I'm going to listen.
We're talking earbuds, right?
Like, yeah.
He's popping them in his ear.
Yes, yeah. My earbuds in his ear. Uh-huh. And I was just like, and the look I got on my face, I wish I had a camera on it because my eyes probably got as wide as saucers. Just like, the fuck are you doing?
I think, did you confront him?
Yes. Like, those are mine. He goes, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. And just takes them out like, all right, you can have them back now.
That is so weird.
Oh, yeah.
Are you ready for him back? Keeping him warm.
Yeah. Just, I thought you might like my ear wax.
I'm going to start doing that. Just like when somebody goes to the bathroom, grab their book, and when they come back, like.
Just start. It's good.
You hooked on it?
Here's what you missed in chapter two.
I read the last chapter first. Boy, not worth it.
Well done.
I want to know, before we wrap up, done the road a bunch, right, with Bobby Lee?
Yeah, Bobby Lee.
Neil a little bit, right?
Neil a little bit. I don't know. I don't have like regular people. Nick Thune a lot, actually. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you enjoy the road?
I do. I want to do it more. I need to do it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Why?
Well, I'm about to hit the road a bunch.
Yeah, I really want to. I'm actually looking for some,
that'd be dope.
Some time.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you love about it? What do you hate about it? What do you love about it?
I love the doing like two, you know, what if a feature set like half hour or 25 minutes or whatever a night. Like that's just so invaluable.
Don't get those
it's
in LA.
So fun. You don't get that in LA.
You grow so much from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's like really the main thing. I mean, I just like traveling too. I just really love going to these towns and like having fun days. Like it's the best when I was in Indianapolis at Crackers, and then Ron Funches was in at the other Crackers.
Oh, yeah.
So we just like got Thai food all the time, like the saw movies. Like I just love it.
Yes. Yeah. There is a weird thing about if you see that another comedian is in your town. Like we live in the same city.
Yeah.
But if you're in the same road town at the same time, you're like, we have to hang out.
We are spending a lot of time together.
We have to hang out.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And I've had many weekends where I just like look up whatever other club is there. It's like, oh, Andy Kindler's here.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hang out with Andy Kindler. I would never say that in Los Angeles.
No.
But the fact that we're both in Colorado at the same time, fuck it, we're hanging out. And then I always have a great time doing it. We always say we need to do it more in LA, and then it never happens.
It's so fun.
Yeah,
it's because it's like adult summer camp. You know, like it's like that goodbye. We'll hang out in LA is like see you next summer.
Yeah,
you know, or have a cool summer.
Yeah,
we're not hanging out over summer.
No. And it's so random and so strange. You try to like come up with the best things to do in the town. You compare notes. It's always about restaurants.
Yeah, always about restaurants. Or like, you ever go to the Mall of America? You ever do House of Comedy?
Damn
Rick Bronson's.
Rick Bronson's House of Comedy.
That one's great.
Yeah, because you have a fucking Mall of America.
Yeah, you
have
an amusement park right there.
Yeah, so you get to ride the SpongeBob ride.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they haven't built a mall like that in every city.
I know, right?
Why Minnesota? Like, why?
Just because it's so cold, you got to be indoors.
Yeah, I think then you might be right.
Because like, there's one of those in Edmonton. There's like a mega mall like that, in like Syracuse, New York, and
Yeah.
Every city where they have like bridges from building to building, so you never have to go outside.
Right.
That's I guess also problem. It's a place where there's not like Vegas has other attractions. LA has other attractions.
Yeah.
Minnesota has Kirby Puckett Memorial and then the Mall of America, right?
Yeah, both cool things.
Both very cool things.
You know that Mall of America.
Can we get like Kirby Puckett stories? Is that what you're about to say?
Yeah, Kirby Puckett. He emailed us. He loved one of our sketches. And,
he was one of the.
We never got to tell him thank you.
I thought you were about to say one of the guys who molested me. By the way, Kirby Puckett Molested Me is the name of a great comedy album.
Why not? Is he alive? I feel like we're slandering somebody.
It's okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, rest in peace. One of the greatest of all time.
Sure.
The amount of love and support I gave him as a child, I get a couple digs now.
Is Kirby Puckett, did he play with like Daryl Strawberry? Was he like that kind of era?
Yeah.
That's when I was like kind of into baseball.
Yeah, like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was a fat athletic guy. I think he gave hope to other fat guys out there like, hey, I could do it.
For sure.
Because look at Kirby.
Are you kidding me? Dude, I remember I saw when he... I mean, yeah, he was very chubby and would run very fast. Mm. And one time in one of my games, I was a big fat kid, and I got a triple. And the coach, who, by the way, had like dinosaur arms, so I was like, well, fuck you for making fun of fat kids, but that's probably why he was, because he's like, it's tough for me too. So I deserve this, is what he probably thought. So I hit a triple in the game, and he gathers all the parents around, and he goes, what an unbelievable game. He goes, Adam's one of the fattest kids on the team, and he got a triple today.
That's what he said.
Dude, that, and I'm sitting there like, you know, mouth full of post-game cake.
You had your Gator cake?
Yeah. Is that Gatorade on the cake?
You could have just
cake.
Said.
It's orange-flavored icing, but you call it Gator
you
cake.
You was a Gatorade-flavored
icing. Raspberry ice-flavored cake.
Yeah, blue ice.
Yeah. By the way, how fat are you if you get a Gatorade cake?
Oh, that's the best.
I mean, Gatorade-flavored cake.
Blue ice velvet.
Nobody got Powerade cakes.
No.
We got a...
I just call you a dreamer at that point.
Yeah.
It's solid.
Powerade.
Wait, you just reminded me real quick of another great Good Neighbor video, the bicycle safety video.
Oh, man, yeah. That's a deep cut. That was hidden in the bellows somewhere.
Dude, look that up actually right now. It's because, you know what, it's great because I did a handful of these where you take... actual footage and spice yourself into it.
Yeah.
And you guys were fucking brilliant at that. And you do it with old school shit, like these 80s bike safety videos. So it's Nick, nice. Beck, and Kyle on a playground. Like,
yeah, amongst these other children.
Amongst other kids talking. Dude, it's fucking.
The video itself is like, it stands on its own. Like the actual bike safety video.
Yeah. Yes.
Because Kyle's obsessed with old VHS. So he collects these like really obscure, like a lot of them are informational or like Bible ones. And
you can tell with the sketches that you know are Kyle sketches on SNL. Yeah, where they he's have like, this, like, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah. You
weird nostalgia.
From, yeah. And like weird graphics and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely the aesthetic.
Let's go with the one more plug for the Dream Corp. Dream Corp LLC, Sunday nights, Adult Swim, 11:45. Not just Dave Coulier as a guest star, as if you need more names after Dave Coulier.
I know, that should be enough. You monster. What do you want from
greedy
us?
Greedy Pluffalump.
Stephen Merchant, Stephanie Weir, Marilyn Rice Cub. They're all on there.
John Grise, Uncle Rico from that Napoleon Dynamite movie.
Oh, nice.
Stephanie Allen.
How is he?
He's awesome. He's like lives the role.
Fuck,
he plays like this bizarre scientist.
I don't know why that Uncle Rico guy didn't get a spinoff from Napoleon, like as that character. That's one of the greatest movie characters of all time.
I don't think he wants one. He's such like a devoted actor. I think he just like wants to work and explore new roles. Like I don't think whenever I'm around him, invariably somebody comes up and says, "Hey, are they making a sequel?" And he's just very polite about it, but. He's like, no, I don't want to make a sequel.
Back
like
away,
we did
fuck
that,
off.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, no, maybe I haven't heard anything.
Oh
yeah. But then he's like, no, I don't want to make one, because he's done it. Like, it's, you're done. Lightning in a bottle. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, all our listeners, make sure you watch 11:45 Sunday nights. Dream Corp LLC.
And tweet at them that you love it.
Yeah.
Tweet at me.
You tweet a lot.
I do tweet a lot. Yeah. I've been getting into it because of this stuff and like this Rooster Teeth show I'm on. That's been.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Crunch Time, which is another dream related comedy.
Yes. Wait, talk about that.
It's on Rooster Teeth, or you can get it on iTunes, but it's called Crunch Time, and it's like these scientists. Well, I guess they're grad students who accidentally open up a black hole while doing this weird like fantasy land dream, this illegal dream. It's a dream thing. I'm going to get a lot of flack for being like the dream guy. It's already starting to happen. People are like, is this two shows? I was like, no, they're very different.
Yeah.
But they basically like,
but
you can go in.
But dreams in it.
Yeah. Like this, we make this business where you can go in and this guy goes in and he wants to fuck his ex in front of her family. and his like middle school class and everybody.
Like
and so,
you do.
Like, yeah, like you do. So we create this lucid dream that he goes in, and then it just goes off the rails immediately, and it's just it's an amazing like sci-fi comedy. It's like Inception comedy.
Who came up with that show?
That's Andrew Disney and Bradley Jackson.
Nice.
And that's on Rooster Teeth if you're like one of their members, or you can get on iTunes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Dream stuff, man.
Plenty of chances to support the great Nick Rutherford.
Thanks, guys.
And also fight on Trojans, buddy.
Fight on Trojans. Thank you, guys.
I love you.
I love you.
Go ahead. Wait. Yeah.
Okay, we were shooting. You asked me to do a sketch with you.
Yeah.
And we were shooting in the valley. I don't remember what it was. I honestly don't remember what it was.
You did this sketch with Jade for me, the Valentine's one.
It wasn't that one. Okay. It was way before that one.
Wow.
And you asked me to come out, and it was really short. And before, I had like 3 margaritas. I like kind of showed up a little tipsy.
Yeah.
And then, and I think I like popped in, and maybe I was shirtless. I think I was shirtless in my underwear, possibly.
I mean, that's what? Just in my dreams, but yeah. Okay.
Well, it's out there somewhere.
It wasn't the Valentine's Day song where you were playing the guitar.
No, no, it wasn't that. I remember that one.
Fuck.
And then we finished, and you were like, all right, cool. Well, you know, I can't pay you. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, but here, let me smoke you out. And like, you got me higher than I've ever been in my entire life.
Wait,
like,
what?
Higher than I've ever fucking been.
We were apparently, he was higher than Adam's ever been because he doesn't remember it.
Yeah, I barely remember what the sketch
I'm
was.
I'm vaguely remembering it.
And then we smoked it and like we packed it and smoked it and packed it. And then you're like, all right, cool. Well, this is my buddy's place, so we got to go. And we were like in the deep valley, and I was like, what?
Wait a minute, I do
so
know where it is.
Toasted.
Oh, wait a minute, I do know. I do remember, and I remember. I think you told me you slept in your car.
Yeah, I had to sleep in my car because I got fucking pulled over. Because I was driving 14 miles an hour with my lights off. And then this cop pulled me over. I was like, oh, fuck. And he pulled me over, and my eyes are beet red because I'm high. And he goes, what's going on? You've been drinking? And I was like, no, my girlfriend broke up with me. It's just been a real rough night. My friend lives right there. He's like, well, maybe she get a cup of coffee. I'm just parking, and I'm going to go in my friend's house right there. And he did the pen trick. He made me do the fucking pen trick.
Wow.
And he did the pen trick. He went far left, right. And then he did a really tight circle. And then I swear to God, he booped my nose. I swear, he knew I was high. He had to know I was high.
You just got a cop who was cool enough.
Yeah.
And then he was like, all right, well, you know, get some coffee.
You know what that was? And I got to find that because I think, I think I might have taken it down, but I think it was when it was me and another girl, Andy Bolt.
Yeah, it was Andy.
And we were girls. We were playing girls talking, and you were my boyfriend. You were her boyfriend.
I was her boyfriend. He was like witnessing you guys having a disgusting conversation.
Yeah,
or something.
And you came in.
Yeah, I like pop in and say one
cereal.
Thing.
You say one thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you heard one of us farted or queefed or something, and you came in eating cereal. You were like, cool. He was talking about queefs, and you're like, it's awesome.
Yeah, something. It was like, whatever it was, it was in the middle of fucking nowhere. And this was before the age of Ubers.
Yeah.
So you just were like, let me get you so intoxicated that you don't know where you are or how to operate your vehicle.
And then
we got to go. I was like, what is he doing to me?
Shit, dude.
And I slept in my fucking car.
One more of those scenarios where you wake up the next day and go, I shouldn't be alive today.
Dude, well, I mean, I now have to track down Spielberg.
I know. Yeah, you do. owe me.
I owe you a Spielberg email.
Yeah.
It's probably, I feel like you could take a couple guesses. It's probably not too far from like
Spielberg.steven@gmail.com.
Theman@spielberg.com.
Yeah, yeah. Steve@spielberg.com.
JurassicCock@ceo.com.
Yeah.
Right.
Big pepperoni nipples at dreamworks.ent.
Wait, no, because that's mine.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. big pepperoni anus.
There you go.
Yeah.
Sure, that one's free.
ET. Phone me at Spielberg.com.
Saving Private Ryan's emails at.
That's the one. Good night, everybody. Show. That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know. But what should I tell them? Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.